Blog Talk Radio.
Burning up with the fire that comes from having Almighty God as expansive, as magnanimous, and as omnipotent as he is. He's able to live inside of each and every one of us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious gift, what a precious presence that we have in you, Almighty God, living inside of us. Blessings and praises to the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. And words fully cannot express our gratitude and appreciation for his precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He is our only hope and light for this long, dark, and dying world that we live in. Blessings, blessings, blessings again to each and every one of you. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspiration, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, 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 the gospel experience. Will life ignite and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus Christ, because God is not a respecter of persons, y'all. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration as well as your spiritual nutrition from the book, Old Testament, Book of Judges. We're going to look at around chapter 6, verse 27 will be our key verse where we read, the Almighty One God has given instruction to his chosen man, Gideon, who was one of the children of Israel. Now, God has told Gideon to tear down the altar to the false god Baal and the surrounding grove with it. But Gideon, being mindful of his father's attitude against this, decided to take men at night. Are we Christians today more concerned with the pushback from others rather than pleasing God? May we never assume the posture of undercover saints that move in fear, stealth, and at night. We're going to talk about saints by night. And I want you to know that my special guests are here. These are my home people from the Big D, not Dallas, not Delaware, not Denver. No, 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 no. I'm talking about the D, Detroit. Yes, yes, yes. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but at the age of 6 years old, guess what? They took me to Detroit, the Motor City, where I lived there for 40 years. Yes, I had to relocate in 07, come back home due to life circumstances. But I'm going to say this. Once you have grown up in Detroit, you can go anywhere and still have Detroit in you. So I'm always Detroit bred and raised, and my people are here. I'm talking about Pastor Gerald and First Lady Carol Irvin are here. These are dynamic pastors, preachers, teachers in the city of Detroit and surrounding areas. Wherever God has already prepared the way for them to go, they carry the gospel message with them without hesitation, without compromise, as well as they comprise the gospel duo group of the Sound of Imani. Y'all already know how I do. I'm going to have the Sounds of Imani mini concert right here on this Fire Gospel Experience platform. And then we're going to let them share wisdom. We're going to hear them make the testimony about being not only married, but successfully married, and then successfully married in ministry. My, my, my. Because there's such an attack on marriage now. People are talking about marriage don't work, it's old-fashioned, it don't even work anymore. When I've always been a believer that there are a lot of people out there that are getting married that were not qualified. That's why the statistics are so high for divorce. You got to be qualified for marriage. And we're going to ask them, what do they think? Are some of the lasting qualifications to be successful in marriage, in ministry, and as a man and woman of God? Whatever your calling is, we are going to be blessed by them. And then later on in the broadcast, for Word of Inspiration, Woman of God, author Sherry, Faith and Favor Bean is going to bless us with her words of wisdom. And then she's going to share about her new book as well. And then, of course, we're going to have her come back so we can have her sit down and at length discuss her book with us so that these people of God can come in full force and glorify God. And they're blessed each and every one of us. So we've already had prayer. We've already asked Holy Spirit God to just come in and have his way. And most of all, we are grateful, Holy Spirit God, for you lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire. Concerned with our circumstances as if to say that he is still not Almighty God. Yeah. To say that he is not still the omnipotent one that is in full charge of everything that goes on. This is the part of faith that a lot of people in and out of the church has still yet to fully be understanding, is that circumstances, regardless of what and how they may be presented in our lives, still fall under the realm of God's allowance. There is nothing that takes place that God has not overseen and approved and allowed. It's just a matter of us reaching a point of acceptance and knowledge that in the end, everything is going to be all right. You just heard from my special guest, man of God, Pastor Gerald L. Irvin, and First Lady Carol Irvin, a.k.a. also known as Sounds of Imani, starting off this fire gospel experience. And it sort of sounds like some gospel funk. I know y'all probably never heard that before, because the word gospel and funk probably don't seem like it go together, but I'm trying to tell y'all, God will move in his people to create a unique sound that gives him praise, honor, and glory. And I believe the Most High God is up there bobbing his head, snapping his fingers, and patting his feet. Talking about actor, actresses, father and mother, husband and wife, pastor, co-pastor, as well as vocalists for the Sounds of Imani. They are senior pastor and co-pastor at Acclaim Ministries International, have studied down there at Wayne State University from Detroit, and now out in the suburbs, because God has blessed us to be out in Harper Woods. It's my pleasure to present my home people from the D, y'all, from Detroit, Michigan, none other than Pastor Gerald and First Lady Carol Irvin for this fire gospel experience. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank God for all that is within me, for these amazing people of God to bless us here now on this fire gospel experience. Hallelujah! Ah! And thank God for the blessing of these. Thank you, man of God, Pastor Gerald L. and First Lady Carol Irvin to fire the gospel experience. How y'all doing?
We're doing
totally
great.
Blessed. We first
super
like
excited.
To thank God for the fire that he put in you. We just thank God for you and all that you do, you know. So we're honored to be a guest on your platform.
Amen. I am just so in love with the people of Detroit, because you all know that cities like Detroit suffer from the stigma of bad reputation, because we are considered urban cities, because the majority of us are American-born African people descent. That's the new terminology that I came up with, Negro, Black, whatever you want to call us. But you all know, just like I know, and I always promote it, that it's always the negative things that are said about cities like Detroit, because there's this stigma against us as Black people, and we understand that. So we are grateful to God that stigma doesn't apply to our Christian faith. Amen.
That's right.
That's true.
So many times, stigma attaches to, especially, our Black Americans, and we tend to let that stigma ride with us instead of just saying, no, we're not going to be defined by that. We're going to be defined by what God has placed in us, to let that show forth strong in these days and times. So there are very different stigmas that we fight against as people, whether it's mental health awareness, the stigma of being in a particular area, and so you're defined by that. But I believe that these are the times now where God is, breaking forth some ground room for us to be able to be recognized for who we are in Him.
Amen. And, it's so much. Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor Gerald. I'm here for you, Doc. Go ahead.
I was just speaking about how the stigma had been attached to Black men that don't want to do nothing. They don't have any clue of what's going on, and you know, but they fail to realize they don't want to promote the positive side of what black men have created and how the things that they have taken from the black man, and, you know, because we as black men, we are strong. You know, we have a lot that God has given us, and we are very talented, and we can do multiple things. And we believe in sharing and helping, you know, because the way society is, we help develop a lot of things that I hear now that we never got credit for, and, you know, the stuff that was stolen and never been presented. Mm-hmm. You know, now God is opening doors where, you know, he's really showing the world who did what and who's responsible for what, you know. And so I'm just enjoying, you know, how God is saying, okay, don't you as my people fall for the rhetoric. You know, you wake up now, pull your bootstraps up. It's time to put your feet back to the plow and do what I called you to
that's
do.
That's right, that's right.
You know, you know, so those are some of the things I look at.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I'm bringing this up is, first of all, I'm actually, I promise you all, I'm being led by Holy Spirit God to just share these things. Mm-hmm. I had no forethought about our opening comments other than what we discussed in our pre-show chat. But race has become such an issue in our country that what a lot of people fail to realize, Pastor Gerald and Pastor Carol, is that it has become a prime strategy for the devil to cause and create division. And a lot of black people in Christian churches have fell victim to these ideologies that are promoting Egyptology and African religions, because they feel like it's more truth in it, because it's coming through our ethnicity. That we can't trust Christianity, because many have fell victim to the lie that Christianity was invented and intended for Europeans, not even knowing that Christianity had already been introduced to the African continent way before the slave trade. So people don't need truth and understanding. So my opening comments to both of you all is, the Bible has declared that in the end times there'll be a great falling away. What would you all say to those that may have somebody in their circumference, family, outreach, that have fallen prey to black religions? Because in my mind, if you want to believe that God is black and everything that comes from God is black, that's the same thing that white supremacists say in reverse. They say it's got to be white and God is white. So either way, to me, that's a misrepresentation of God. What would you say, Lady Carol?
Well, I'll say that we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ definitely was not, we know he was not what so many races have projected over the years in terms of, you know, him being white with blonde hair and blue eyes and all that kind of stuff like that. So we know that that's not true. We know that evidently, you know, he had to have been of a darker complexion at some point in time, you know, in reference to some scriptures that that we can look at for that. But, you know, for the most part, people, like you said, Christianity has been around for a while. And a lot of times people think that Christianity, oh, that's just a European religion, because they see the picturization of what the white races try to term as this is Jesus Christ, this is what he looks like. The information that they've conveyed over the years to the slaves, that they were supposed to serve them because they're subservient to them, and you know, all blacks are subservient to the white race and all that kind of stuff that has played down over the years. So because of that, people have tended to, because we don't really, we as black Americans don't know our identity. We really don't. And it's like, you know, because we don't know our identity, we're grasping at straws at other things. Let me find a place where I belong, because I don't feel that I belong in this society. I don't know who I am. Maybe other races can identify with who they are and where they came from. when it comes to blacks, we don't know that. And so we're just grasping, oh, let me be a part of this, or let me be a part of that. And, you know, not realizing who we really are in Christianity. There is plenty of people of color in the Bible, but we don't know that. You know, a lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we just tend to just pulling at straws. Oh, let me become a part of this. Oh, let me become a part of the Hebrew Israelites. Let me become a part of something else aside from Christianity. And they're pulling away from Christianity because of the stigma that came along with it, with racism. You know, white racists use Christian scriptures to, you know, support what they were doing, you know, enslaving people. And so, yeah, so it's a lot. It's a lot involved. It's a lot, and that's what we have to look at.
And I'm going to say this too, Pastor Gerald, that first of all, let me recommend a book that I'm reading by Pastor Jerome Gay entitled The Whitewashing of Christianity, which he said in correct picture the dynamics of the African contribution to Christianity. It's just sad. It's just sad because so many of us are being portrayed, like I talked about Detroit. I'm living in a city that is like close to maybe 48,000 people, but do you all know that our crime rate statistically on a national level is up there in the top 10 nationwide per capita? Again, for a city that only has like 48,000 people that have violent crimes in the upper echelon on a national level is unheard of. But then again, we never hear about the good. And my concern is that, Pastor, I have said all the time that I do understand that if Martin Luther King was willing to die for his people, Malcolm X willing to die for his people, Mahatma Gandhi willing to die for his people, I understand that because that's human love and commitment and devotion. But there is a man, Jesus, that I don't believe is of African descent. I believe he is of Israeli descent, just like the Israelis that are over there now, which to me expresses a more divine character of love, because you have a man that's not even in our ethnicity that's willing to die for the salvation of our soul, because it's not even about what's on the exterior. It's about who we are on the interior. It's about our souls, Pastor Gerald. What do you say, sir?
I truly believe that it's all about, you know, souls. You know, when we look at the church, I know you were speaking about the culture and things of how in Africa, how the religious, you know, they had the missionaries to come over to try to manipulate the thoughts of the black brothers and sisters over in Africa to teach them about, you know, you have the Catholics to come over and all the different missionaries that come over, you know, and doing history books. They never talk about a lot of the things and how blacks were taught to manipulate each other in Africa, you know, selling, you know, the produce and then the gold that they come to take and reverse it all. They talk about how, you know, we have kings and queens that's over in Africa, the royalty that is over in Africa. You know, and they come over to try to manipulate to see how, you know, blacks were so great over in Africa, and then the Bible speaks about, you know, Ethiopia, you know, the colors, you know, of people. You know, you read in the scripture where it talks about the different, as Dr. C was saying, the different kings and queens and Solomon and all of those, the characters that are in the Bible that speaks of who was black and the culture of black people. But here in the United States, when we start talking about church and religion, you know, as we talked about years ago, how down south the separation between the white churches and the black churches, and then they talked about the Azusa Street, how the blacks was drawing people and the miracle of God was being manifest. And so they came together, you know, as white Christians and black Christians to try to come together during that time. But it's, the struggle was all about power, you know, who got the power to do this, who the power to do that, you know. And even as you look at the elections, power, you know, you have black representatives that are being the first black Speaker of the House, You know, then here in Michigan, we have the first black woman, you know, here. So we look at the transitioning of power and the race thing, as we were talking about earlier. Race is God is exposing all of that now. You know, people are really paying attention where they was hiding the factor about power struggle and how they didn't want to lose their power as people. So now the power is being kind of leveled out a little bit, but there's still work to do with that, you know, because when we learn who we are and whose we are as black people, knowing that we're not ignorant, knowing that the black woman has greater things, because the black woman was what raising the white babies. The black, when my grandmother was black, she was raising the white families, and you know, there was still power there. And power, you can't take the power that God has manifested in his people. You know, we talk about Jesus, you know, how they wanted to destroy Jesus. You know, when you talk about how you said the Israelites, stuff like that. So we have to get our mind conditioned back to the Word of God, back to who God is in our life and who Jesus is. See, the mindset, you know, when the Bible speaks of a renewing of the mind definitely has to be renewed, because it's been false teaching from many years, you know. And like when blacks down south, blacks were down south, they had to use a candle to read the Word of God. You know, they weren't allowed to have light to read. They weren't allowed to read the Word. You know, it was about do as I say. You know, you don't hear that. You know, now people are getting more into the Word of God, knowing who God is, knowing that they don't have to believe, you know, what other people are saying. But when the Bible says study to show yourself approved, you know, you have to read for wisdom and knowledge about who you are as a black person, who you are in the culture of the Word of God, how things begin to manifest. You know, years ago, they used different terms in the Bible to tell the blacks, you've been cursed because of Ham, you've been this because of that. And that is not what the Word is saying. You know, the Word didn't tell you that. The Word is Ham's just the only one that was punished for what he's done. But it didn't tell you to make black people think they are cursed too because of that incident that happened in the Word of God. You know, so we have to open our eyes and say, hey, well, God didn't say we were cursed. You know, man did that. You know, to manipulate the black race. You're never going to be. Yeah. And then you tell them they still got in the world, in their laws, the land of the law, that we were one-fifth of a human being. You know, so we have to go beyond and dig deeper and say, listen, young brothers and sisters, this is who you are in the Lord. This is what God said. You know, and we talk about it, well, only this, I know this, what is Gentiles? We all are there because Christ died for us. He died for all of us, our sins and everything. Amen. You know, so we have to put our mindset on biblical thinking and not man thinking, because if man had his way, you know, he would be the nurses of the world. Nobody has no problem but him. You know, so Brother Ron, it got me when I went to college to Wayne State University and started studying on black history, because they don't teach it in the schools. You know, you can't learn about black culture and history in schools. You know, you have to go to college to go into the libraries and dig the books out and then take up a black history class. And then you begin to like, whoa, there are great black men. There are great black women, you know, and you know, like you say, they don't even talk enough about, they just started talking about Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, and she was vigilant and, you know, getting things started.
Amen.
I'm about to get started,
Ryan. I'm going to say this, Pastor. No, you good, Pastor. I'm going to go back to something that you said, because it's very relevant about the misuse of scriptures, how certain scriptures were taken out of context to use to manipulate and justify slavery, but also too, like you said about Ham and the people, descendants of Ham, having darker skin was supposed to have been the mark that God placed on Cain when he slew his brother Abel.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a scripture verse that I have had to make known, Daniel 7:9. It says, I watched as thrones were put in place in the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God sat down to judge.
Mm.
His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like white as wool. And then if I drop down to verse 114, it says his hair was white as wool or snow.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have misinterpreted that scripture and focused on the part where it says his hair was like wool, as if to exclude the word white as wool, which represents God's wisdom, or in his case, his divine, unlimited wisdom and knowledge. White being the symbol of knowledge. And, and my understanding is that when the sheep shearers sheared the sheep, they used what is called fuller soap to make the wool sparkling white. So the emphasis on the wool was only attached to really signifies the word white, which is the wisdom of God. And they said, Brother Ron, how you know? Well, if you continue to read on Revelation 14, it says, and his eyes penetrated like flames of fire. So what you're saying, our Lord had bloodshot eyes? No. Flames of fire was symbolic of his penetrating gaze, his all-knowing at every place, every time, every generation. They don't see the symbolism. Is it so black people that want to promote black evangelism, black religion, are also misusing scriptures as well? Because I'm a firm believer in this, and First Lady Carol, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to get you back in the conversation for sure. If someone was to commit a crime with a gun, they don't accuse the gun. They accuse the person that used the gun. I tell people all the time, just because racist people misuse the Bible, it's not the Bible that's wrong, it's the people that use the Bible that's incorrect. What say ye, First Lady Carol Irvin?
Exactly. And like I had commented before, and I think, you know, Dr. Gerald touched on this too, that, you know, the misuse of scriptures in the Bible is definitely an issue. So the Bible is not wrong. So when you have people running around and saying that, oh, well, you know, Christianity is wrong. It's not correct, and therefore, you know, we're not going to believe in Christianity. We're going to look elsewhere. We're going to jump on other exactly. We're going to jump on other religions and things, and we're not going to believe the Bible because we're going to look for our heritage and you know. Other religious areas, and so we tend to latch on to that stigma that Christianity is incorrect, and so we have to get away from that, and Christianity is real. It is real. Even the scriptures with when it talks about the apostles and everybody, they were known by their love as being Christians. Yeah. They were known to be Christians by their love. So there you have that scripture as well. And so we know that Christianity is real. Christianity is based on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how can you say that it doesn't exist or it's incorrect? How man has decided to utilize the scriptures, like you said, that's the problem. And like I mentioned, you know, utilizing those scriptures to support what they were doing, mistreating the blacks by their racist practices and things of that nature. And they've been doing that over the years. And so that's why there's a stigma attached to Christian, and everybody else say, you know, they want to come against the Christianity and stuff like that. And then when you look at it, people are being persecuted because of being Christians, especially in other countries. So when you think about it, you know, what other religion is people being dismantled because of that? No, it's Christianity. So there's got to be something about Christianity. There's got to be something about representing Christ. Peter, Paul, Silas, all of them was jailed, put into prison, beat, because and told not to teach in Jesus' name again. Don't go do it. You know, and so there's something about being a Christian. There's something about standing up for the bloodstained banner. And so that's what we have to look at and get away from the old stigmatism that, you know, Christianity is not right for the black people, you know, because you look at photos and different things of Jesus being depicted as a white person with blonde hair and blue eyes. I often say, you know, many times when we're teaching the word, you know, when the angel came to Joseph and said, look, get out of here because, you know, your child life is in danger. You know, here it is, you know, going on the rampage. And so you and your wife, y'all go to, you know, you go to Egypt, right? So we know that they're brown complexion people in Egypt, especially at that time, right? And so do you think that they're going to bring a white baby with some blue eyes and hot hair and go hide in there? You know, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. So therefore we know he had to be of not no white complexion. You know, so I y'all use that scripture, that kind of speaks for itself, you know. And it's like so we have to really get into what the scriptures are saying, rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we are told to study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have to do that. And get away from these fables and, you know, false stuff.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, what the Word of God said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, Lady Carol, not just having a great theological discipline to study to show ourselves approved, the confirmation of all of our studying, praying, and meditation is culminated in our transformed lives. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your ideology is. You can't tell me that there was not a power that personally came into my life and adopted me to fit the prescription to follow the life that Jesus requires in his word. Because these habits that we used to have, those proclivities, those inclinations that we used to have, they were spiritual strongholds, and we didn't have the power to break them ourselves. But when we ask God to mold us into the very image of his son, Jesus Christ, that's when we felt that overshadowing power, that same power that came over Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, and impregnated us with a brand new spirit. That is miracle working power that cannot be disputed. Hold your thoughts right there.
Yes.
I want our listeners just meditate on that. When we come back, we're going to let you all talk about the true meaning of Christmas, as well as how you beautiful couple of husband and wife, pastor and co-pastor, have found success in ministry, in marriage, and in the ability of two becoming one flesh. You're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience, y'all. And we love God simply because of who he is. Amen. Goes right there.
Are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, 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 indeed. Fire, fire, fire. The Gospel Experience Evangelistic Outreach Station, where we are here to promote our faith in God through our Christian belief in the redemptive lives of Jesus the Christ, our Redeemer, our Messiah, and Savior, as well as we are here to extol everyone listening to our words, our testimony, as well as this anointed music to point you to your Creator, who is Almighty God. You have just heard from my special guest, Pastor Gerald L. Irvin and First Lady Carol Irvin, pastor and co-pastors here, also known as the Sounds of Imani, the gospel group that just got through taking us to the throne room, letting us know that because of who you are, God, we have this endearing faith and love and commitment to you as well. Listen, man of God, can you share with us how you met your love of your life, woman of God, Carol Irvin, and then just help us journey through how your meeting turned into marriage and then turned into ministry?
Okay. Well, you know, it's a blessing, you know, because it was something I've been praying because, you know, I was doing a lot of musical things and stuff. So I did music with quartet groups and all that. And so I'm like, wow, God was showing me a different thing about, you know, people that sing the gospel and say, everybody you think is saved ain't saved. It's all about themselves. So I'm through with this, God. I'm like, Lord, if you want me to continue to do what I do, Lord, put me around some people that love you, know you, honor you, and respect you. I said, because I'm so sick and tired of these counterfeit songsters and things like that, of just self-righteous people. So I sitting there, and someone came and said, would you want to come and sing with all these females? I said, no. And she said, why not? I said, because I'm kind of going to take a break. She said, have you ever sung with a lot of females? I said, no. She said, why don't you come try this? I said, okay. So I goes over to Pastor Carol's house, and my mind was still dangling about how fake Christians are and how this and that. So I'm sitting there, and she said, well, did you come to audition? I'm like, yeah. So, Brother Ron, I sung in Z-Natural. I'm trying to say, well, we can't use you. So I'm singing, I think it was Amazing Grace, I believe. And she said, oh, well, welcome to the group. I'm like, what? That's it. She said, oh, no. Here, welcome to the group. So I'm like, okay. So I finally come back, and we make a long story short, we went through a lot of folks, and God was speaking to both of us. And I was saying, you know, Carol, the Lord said it's just going to be you and I. And she looked at me, you know, because we wanted to have a ensemble of a group, you know, a bunch of people, but God was moving them one by one. And so her and I, we just kept on with the ministry, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like little kids. And I told her, I said, you know, I like you. And she said, I like you too. And from that point on, we dated for 1 year. We dated because we've been like ministering for like 2 years. Didn't even think about, you know, romances or anything like that because our hearts were was like God praying and soul. So we dated for 1 year. And on Mother's Day, I drew a rose on the card and a ring. So the kids were standing around. I looked, and I tapped on the shoulder. I said, "Happy Mother's Day." So she read the card and went, And she saw the flower. Yeah, the flower in the ring, and she's like, And I said, "Oh, okay." It didn't excite her, so I went back into the room, and I came back, and I got on one knee, and I had a rose in my hand.
Uh oh, come on, play.
And a ring in my other hand. And I said, will you marry me? And she said,
yes.
And she right away, and everybody was smiling with tears in her eyes, and she called her mom and said, I'm getting married.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, so we were like, wow. Because, you know, we ran to a lot of people. They were like, you guys are married. We're like, no, we're not. We're just man and woman of God worshiping and praising God. And this one prophet lady, she said, you know what? You guys are already married. You just got to make it legal. God has already ordained this marriage. And we were like, really?
Amen.
And so we got married. We've been married for 23 years.
Amen. And I like to hear married folks tell the story because while y'all are telling it, every now and then we hear the light, hearted chuckles and laughs because we know y'all are having a flashback and y'all are really talking about it, and that still brings a tickle and a joy to your heart and your spirit, which lets me know that true love still resides into both of you all. So, Lady Carol, I was wondering which came first, the music or the ministry. So, as Sounds and Imani brought you all together as husband and wife, tell us about the fundamentals that it takes for a man and a woman, a husband and wife, to successfully navigate ministry and marriage.
Okay. I know one of the things that we were doing first was the music. And God bless us with that. And then we went into our ministry, you know, as far as the word ministry, teaching, church ministry, stuff like that. And that came, you know, after that. And I believe that God was positioning us and grooming us for this great work that he has for us to do. You know, so both of us, you know, when we started out, we had, you know, experiences in music from different aspects. You know, he was before he really got into the gospel music ministry, he was in the secular industry on that end of things. So experience came from that, as and then for myself, just, you know, the whole another phase of things coming from the church side of music ministry. And so when we came together, God was positioning us in areas of leadership to be able to serve in the capacity that he has us now. I often refer back to the scripture where David started off as the shepherd boy, basically tending after the sheep and doing other things, and God was grooming him for the position. And plus that, he was a musician. And all of these things God was grooming him before he even stepped into the position of serving as king over Israel, right? Or Judah, or however you want to put it. He, you know, so God was grooming him for that position. So I look at it the same way God was grooming us. You know, there are different classes we took over the years, you know, talking about leadership and different things like that. But God was positioning us to serve in the capacity of, you know, pastoralship, seeing over the body of Christ, the body of believers that he has entrusted to us. So that's very important. You know, just tapping into what God has for you first and foremost, acknowledging the fact that God has initialized you and prepared you for such a time as this to walk into the different areas where he intends for you to be. And it's not a walk in the park, okay? It's not, you know, you got some tough things that you have to deal with, you know, different, you know, people's personalities, you know, different things. But you have to hold up the bloodstained banner. You have to be the persons that God has called you to be, to take a stand against unrighteousness and to, you know, be well planted and well rooted in God's word. And so those things are very important. And even in you know, the relationship part of things, you know, you have to, when you're a married couple, you have to realize the relationship of Christ to the church, you know, represent that relationship that Christ has to the church. And you acknowledge that in your life, and you can build from that on your relationship with your spouse, because you know that, you know, when you're together, you're together. Let no man put asunder whatever God has joined together. And, you know, amen, just standing on the principles of God in your life, knowing that, you know, as Christ loves the church, so should husband and wife love one another. Yep.
Amen. That's amazing. I had already mentioned to you all when I say it has almost time for us to wrap it up. I know y'all was gonna throw your hands up in the air, so you gotta be kidding with me, Brother Ron. It cannot cannot have gone by this fast. I told y'all it was gonna do that. It happens every time.
Yes.
But I'm good with
yes.
it only because that just gives me more motivation to have you all come back and continue to discuss the good things of our God as light and witnesses of and disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what we're required to do after we have been saved, to mature into the image of our Jesus Christ, as well as be a revelatory vessel to the world, in spite of the denial, in spite of the pushback, and in spite of the potential resistance that we get. We are called to stand and take a diligent effort to make Jesus Christ known without backing down, because we're empowered by God. Now, we go, Pastor Gerald, I need to let my listeners know about your amazing broadcast that you and First Lady Carol have on Facebook, on YouTube, and other platforms that you all are, because these are media personalities as well, listeners. They're not just coming on here as gospel artists, as pastor and co-pastor, but they have their own platform as well. Why don't you tell us about that so that my listeners could be able to tune in and support you on your platform, Pastor Gerald?
Okay. Our radio platform is called Right Now Praise Radio. That's our station, Right Now Praise Radio. We're owners of the Right Now Praise Radio. It's a 24/7 radio station. We come on Facebook Live on Mondays and Fridays. We have very important people come on, the guests. We have interviewed guest that comes on our program, Sounds of Blackness, Dietrich Haddon, and many others. And there's more to come. You know, so our radio station is reaching out, and we're on syndicated to different radio stations, you know, we're in England and, you know, everywhere else. And we play indie gospel artist music. That's something that God's called us to do, to make sure that the indie artists are well represented. And we want to make sure that when people send us their music, that it's radio ready. That means you have all your coding and everything, so that you can be well represented, because we have BMI licensed. And when we're playing your music through BMI, you get residuals from that, you know, and we try to let people know. And then we have the Right Now Praise TV, you know, and the radio is presenting the Give God the Glory broadcast is from Right Now Praise Radio, you know, so,
and remember
Right
Praise,
Now Praise.
PR. And remember Praise is still
Praise
PR,
is
yeah.
PRAIZZ. That's Praise, PRAIZZ. And we have the Praise TV Network, which is on Roku. You can download the app on iPhones, Android, Fire Stick, iOS.
What?
You name it, just go to your phone and download the app, and you can see our Right Now Praise TV on your phone. You can carry it with you all, and we have indie films. We have family films, interviews of different people, and we have content that if you want to be a part of our TV network, you know, you write us on rightnowpraise@gmail.com, rightnowpraiseradio@gmail.com. You know, so remember, Praise is spelled PRAIZZ. And if there's anything that I miss, I'm quite sure my MasterCard. I tell everybody, my wife is like my MasterCard. I never leave home without it.
Never. Don't do it. Amen. You certainly can follow them on Facebook. I know for sure they are my Facebook friends. They have been my Facebook friends for multiple years. I'm blessed to have Kingdom Collaboration and connection with them. You can go to Gerald L. Irvin or Carol Irvin on Facebook and get all of their information for all of their projects. Anything local there, if you're in Detroit or the surrounding area, you need to fellowship with these people of God, this man of God, this woman of God. We're not trying to steal you from somebody else's church, but it's okay to visit. It's okay to fellowship. That don't mean that you're trying to be scooped up. No. And man of God, woman of God, it has been my tremendous pleasure to have you on. I am so thankful and grateful for both of you all. What is the contact information that you all have for Sounds of Imani? In case someone would like for you all to come to their event, revival, concert, and bless them with your presence. How can you be reached?
Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Ron. We can be reached at our email, which is imanigroove@gmail.com, and that's I-M-A-N-I, and then the word groove, @gmail.com, or they can call us at 313-308-5935, 313-308-5935. We're also very accessible on, you know, Facebook. You can either look us up at Sounds of Imani or Gerald Irvin with the E-E-R-V-I-N or Carol Irvin.
That's right.
And we will get back in touch with you.
Irvin with the E. Now, I am looking forward to for you all to mark your calendars. August the 31st through September the 1st, there is going to be a Pools Gospel Carnival Cruise. We are inviting all gospel artists to come. The deadline is Monday to get your $12 in just for your reservation. The total package for each individual is $390 for a four-day cruise to two stops in the Bahamas. We're going to just take over the whole boat for Jesus. We're going to take over the whole portion of waters of the ocean that we're on. And when we get to the Bahamas, we're going to just shine for Jesus bright. So I'm looking forward to you all. If your calendar and schedule permits it, mark your calendars for August the 31st and September 4th and join me on this gospel group. I've been asked to be one of the hosts, master of ceremonies. I am just grateful to God for the opportunity to finally meet people that I've only met on the internet and through this platform and other platforms. So please keep that in mind. I hope y'all can make it because we're going to have a good grand and a great time. Thank you all for joining me.
Amen.
I bless y'all in Jesus. I pray that Holy Spirit God will pour out so many blessings on you, make y'all shout like y'all haven't shouted in a long, long time. I pray that God will bless y'all so much that it'll be such an abundant overflow that you all will realize, not like the rich man that had to build more barns and store them. Mm. You all are going to say, no, there's too much. We got to bless somebody else. I love y'all in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I know y'all about it, so I'm going to love y'all anyway. Thank you for joining me. I praise God for people just like you. When I grow up, me and this platform is going to be just like y'all. Ha!
Well, thank you, Brother Ron. We had a
Amen.
Great time.
Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
So much.
I tell you, we love to come back. Amen.
Looking forward to having y'all come back. We're going to make it happen in 2023. Pastor Gerald L. Irvin and First Lady Pastor Carol Irvin, they blessed us right here on this fire gospel spirit, y'all. They really do. Y'all just don't know. It's Detroit versus the world. We have had so many negative things said about us, almost similar to what's going on here in my little city that my birthplace of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, is going through. Same type of situation. Pine Bluff, Arkansas, in all points, is pretty much just like a miniature Detroit. But guess what? Just like there is victory in Jesus, there's victory in Detroit, there's victory in Pine Bluff, and I'm here to be a witness to you that there is victory wherever you are if you just trust and believe and put your faith in God, because God has angels all around his people protecting us so that we will be under his care and no harm will come to us. And even if what the world calls harm, even if someone else are martyred and are willing to give and risk our lives for the cause of Christ, guess what? He's already prepared us for that ultimate sacrifice. So even in the end, the most God, even if it's our very lives, guess what? The rewards will be great eternally, and it will be an everlasting marker for everyone else that bears witness on what it means to live as well as die for our faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to turn our artist spotlight and have word of inspiration on Woman of God, Sherry, Faith and Favor Beam. She's in the studio. Yes, she is. But right now, there must be angels watching over us because we are victorious in God. Hallelujah.
Hello, we're Sounds of Imani, and you're listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music.
We pray that our music will uplift your spirit and give you new strength.
Keep it tuned in. And bless your family and friends and co-workers by telling them about Fire on this station.
Amen, amen. That's what we do, y'all. We raise the temperature and shed the light on every situation that we find ourselves in. That we are blessed. We understand that God is strategic and he's tactical. And we are like soldiers and disciples wherever we are placed. We have been geographically, we have been theologically, we have been institutionally planted wherever we are to be a significant factor when it comes to evangelizing our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much deception and darkness in the world that if us as children of God do not stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Word of God, the Bible, which declares that God himself said, I have placed even my word, even above all my great name. And you can't get no greater than that. That means whatever God spoke, it will come to pass. So you need to make up your mind, if you believe in Christ, to get up off your do-nothing scriptures and let God live in you wholeheartedly, fully, and completely. And if you're not sure about God, then you need to pray and ask God for yourself to make himself real in your life, and I promise you, your whole life will be transformed. Amen. Goes right there. I am so happy to have this woman of God here with us to share with us in word of inspiration. She is a young lady that I had the pleasure of passing through on Facebook with Facebook friends, and she is in the ministry of sharing her testimony, speaking words of power. And she is an author from Rejection to Redemption, a one woman's journey. And you best believe that means a whole lifetime of experience of a godly nature that God has already chosen for her to share and to be a blessing and a witness for the work that God is doing in her life. So without any further ado, certainly my pleasure to introduce the song and present to everyone else. Blessed, inspirational speaker, author, woman of God, Sherry, faith and favor being for our word of inspiration. Amen. 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 Sherry, faith and favor being, thank you for joining us on this Fire Gospel Experience. How are you, woman of God? How are you?
I'm absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for this opportunity, which I do not take lightly. Any door God opens, I pray that he sends me through like a ball of fire to burn up everything contrary to him. So I thank you so much for considering me. It means a lot. Thank you, sir.
Amen. You almost took my breath away when you said that because you was taking some of my words. I thought you was over here leaning, looking at my notes because I have no problem with setting a fire in the atmosphere. Amen. I tell people all the time, I am a spiritual, I am a vibrational, and I am an atmospheric person. That means I allow my mind, body, and spirit to be used by God so that he can intensify whatever it is he has for me for his glory while I'm on assignment here on this earth. So, woman of God, I just believe Holy Spirit God has given you an inspirational word to share with us. And then with the time that we have left, I want you to share a little bit about who you are as a woman of God. And then give us some highlights about your current book that we'll be able to discuss at length in a future broadcast, talking about From Rejection to Redemption, One Woman's Journey. Please share with us some inspirational words that God has given you.
Well, man of God, let me just say this. I know that we have seen a lot on television and we hear a lot. I know that people are saying that the church has lost its power and all kind of negative connotations that are coming against the church. But what I always tell people is the Church of God has never, nor will it ever be in trouble. It's a blood-bought entity, so it will never be in trouble. The Church of Man is being exposed, and so we are able to visualize the difference
between what God wants us to do and what man has had us to do. There is a great separation, there is a great divide, and there is a great exposure in the land. And that's purposeful for the plan, the will, and the purpose of God in this moment. I just simply believe and know in my spirit, man of faith, that God has raised up and is exposing those people that look like they have been on the backside or have been living in reverse, look like they are more towards where they would rather not be than where they're going. God has put some people on the backside to train them, to teach them, to mold them, to make them so that they will not be moved by what they are entering into. Man of God, this is the greatest time where God is causing his sons and his daughters to invade the mountains of influence, every one of them. Hear me clearly. Every one of them, we are going to see a great exposure of the kingdom of God. God is staking his name in the mountains of influence. We are going to hear the name of God mentioned more than we ever have before. We are going to hear the name of Jesus mentioned more than we ever have before. We are going to see the power of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen it before in places and spaces, man of God, where they have tried to keep him out of the entertainment industry, the educational system, all kind of things that have once been off limits where they say you couldn't mention the name of Jesus. God is raising up people to stake his name and stake his name extremely strong. We serve a strong God, and so we are going to see the people of God who will not be moved, who will not compromise the name of God for fame, fortune, property or prestige. We are going to see people who are going to stand flat-footed and say the Lord is, the Lord is, he was, and he will always be. And I want to encourage man of God, you, and I want to encourage those people who are moving by faith, who are establishing the word of God in their lives all around them. Don't be discouraged by what you've lost. It had to go. Don't be discouraged about disconnections. They had to happen. Don't be discouraged about what looks like an L. It's not an L. It's not an L at all. You are moving in an atmospheric change that is different. And when you move altitudes, when you go from one altitude to the next, you have to learn how to breathe in the altitude you are now in versus the altitude you were in. And not everyone will be able to go and breathe that same altitude. There are times when God will cause you to leave everything you know. Come on, we're going to hear about some serious Abrahamic experiences in the land where God has called people to leave everything they know, where God is telling people, I need you to let go of your family. I need you to let go of certain things because they are a hindrance to where I desire to take you. But be not moved, because if God tells you to let it go, that's because he has something else waiting for you. He cannot replace something that you won't let go. He cannot put something in a space that you continue to occupy. So what God is doing is causing some things to happen. He's causing some things to erupt in your life. He's causing some things to occur that's designed by him. Designed by him to get you to a place called promise, to get you to a place called preeminence. Because listen, an eagle cannot fly low. And for many years, people have had their wings clipped. People have had things sitting on them so that they cannot go into the places and the spaces God wanted them to. But God is causing for a blaze to happen that will cause men and sons and daughters of God to rise above the ashes, to rise above what the enemy is doing, to sit in heavenly places. That's the Bible. We're supposed to sit in heavenly places. So if we sit in heavenly places, we look down upon the things that are trying to come against us. We pronounce judgment upon the things, the enemy, the flesh, everything that's coming against us. God gave us the authority. And so now he's saying, you all have stood up too much. I need you to sit in a place of authority. We execute from a place called city. That is a place of authority. And so now he said, I need you to sit and settle. Sit and settle and rest in this place that I've called you to. This is why many people are unsettled. This is why many people are uneasy in their spirit, man. This is why many people can't articulate what they're feeling, where they are, what's going on, because God has shifted them in the night. They went to bed one way and woke up another. They went to bed one way and woke up another way. And because they went to bed one way and woke up another way, they don't understand what has happened. God happened. That's what happened. And I want to put scripture on it, man of God. Amos 9 in the Message version reads as this, as thus. It says, Amos 9, 11 through 15, it says, "But on judgment day, I will restore David's house that has fallen to pieces. I will repair the holes in the roof, replace the broken windows, fix it up like new. David's people will be strong again and seize what's left of the enemy, plus everyone else under my sovereign judgment." God's decree. Listen to it. It ain't man's decree. God's decree. He will do this. Listen, it says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. These are the things that are going to happen. Listen to how it says, man of God. It reads like this. It says, these things will happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will happen at once. And everywhere you look, you ready for this, man of God? It says, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. They'll rebuild their ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work in their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I'll plant them in their own land. They'll never again be uprooted from the land I'll give them. God, your God, never says so. What does that have to do with 2022? What God is saying is, it may have looked like you were uprooted and you had to be uprooted, but he is planting you in a place where you will rule, where you will govern. We were meant to rule. We were meant to subdue. We were meant to govern. And so God is now saying, I'm sending you in a place, come on, and I'm going to cause things to happen back to back to back. I'm going to cause things to happen to overtake you that you won't be able to explain. One blessing after another, whatever that blessing needs to be, whatever that place needs to be, God says, I am setting you and I am settling you in this place. And so now, if I could say anything to the people of God, go back and read Amos, go back and read Amos 9, verses 11 through 15. God wants you to understand, it may have looked like a loss, but I set you up. I set you up in a place called impossible. I set you up in a place that looks like it's not going to bear fruit. I set you up in a place that looks like everything around you is growing, but you, I set you up because I'm going to cause you to outgrow what looks like it's outgrowing you. I'm going to cause you to accelerate. I'm going to cause you to advance. I'm going to cause some things to happen. I had to mature your mind. I had to settle your emotions. I had to cause some things to happen because I cannot allow you to govern in a place with immaturity in you. And so I had to allow some things to happen so that it will mature you. I had to allow some things to happen so that your hands will be strengthened for the glory I'm about to release into your hands, for the resources and the revenue I'm about to release in your hands. I had to allow some things to break off of you so that I could shape you and mold you. I had to allow what you thought was the devil was really God. He was allowing some things to happen. And because sometimes we don't understand the movement of the sovereignty of God, we may think it's the devil. No, it was God and God alone, because he says this, no man will get the glory out of what I am doing for you. No, it won't be your job. It won't be your credit score. It won't be any of that. It will be my supernatural imposing in your life that is going to cause men to know that I am with you, that you are my son and you are my daughter. So if I had to say anything to anyone, stand your ground, stand flat-footed, don't compromise. Don't allow yourself to be found in a place called compromise. Stand your ground, because what God is about to do for, in, and through you is going to mess up every naysayer, every Tobias, every Sanballat that comes. The sound of building is very strong in the land, and it is causing things to come to try to stop the building, to try to stop what God has called you to build. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, if you will build, I'll kill what's coming against you. If you will stand, I will destroy what's coming against you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. I have released it unto you. And that's what I hear the Spirit of the Lord say. Man of faith.
Amen. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Goes right there. Woman of God, Sherry, faith and favor be. Oh, Lord. Now, I know that you all should have been fully satisfied by that spiritual dissertation, but listen, don't let that keep you from church, because I know it felt just like we was in church right now and we heard a sanctified word from God. Woman of God, thank you. Thank you so much. We don't have much time left, woman of God, but I do want you to introduce your book entitled From Rejection to Redemption, One Woman's Journey. Can you share just briefly some of the high points on what inspired you to write that book, and then where my listeners can download your book or purchase your book directly?
Sure. So my book was written literally through the Holy Spirit, and what I mean by that is it's not a book that I wanted to write. It is my life journey from sin to salvation. There are some things in that book that I thought I would take to my grave, but God told me that if I would trust him to write my story so that someone else could be free, it would be worth it. So it is a real, raw, uncut journey of where I come from my 12-year crack addiction, to from my prostitution, from living a lesbian lifestyle, from all kind of detriment, from all kind of self-loathing and self-hatred, to a place to understand that God loves me like he loves everybody else. It talks about my walk even in Christianity, where I would go into churches and because the only thing that I owned was men's clothes, and how they would look at me and disregard me and dishonor me and think that I was nothing. People told me in the church more about me going to hell than they ever told me about salvation. But thank God that there were those planted and ready for me to come, that told me that if I leave, I'll never know what God would have for me. And so, it is a real, raw, uncut version of Sherry Carroll Bean. It can be downloaded, it can be bought on Amazon.com under From Rejection to Redemption. There's also a journal that goes with it. It is a prayer arsenal journal. It has many prayers in it. It helps people build their prayer language. It helps people to target certain prayer points. It helps people to eradicate the rejection in their life, because rejection is the octopus from hell. It is an octopus from hell that has many tentacles that manifest themselves in many ways. And a lot of times we are hidden at the tentacles and we are leaving the octopus to live. So it deals with the root cause of certain things. So, again, it's real, it's raw, it's uncut, and it is my journey from sin to salvation. It talks about how the Lord Jesus interrupted my sin agenda with the plan of salvation, and it can be bought on Amazon.com under From Rejection to Redemption.
Amen. Well, listen, woman of God, we are going to schedule some time where you'll be able to sit down and be our first reserved special guest artist, so that you can come and share with us at length, and we break this book down and give God the glory, because you're not the only one that had those seats of darkness in the dope house, in bars, in back alleys, in running around the streets, doing those things that we were trying to satisfy our souls, not realizing that the only thing that would eventually satisfy our soul was our connection with God. We just got deceived. We got the wool pulled over our eyes, so to speak, and then we got trapped and could not get out. That's why I don't argue with people about my theology and my commitment to God, because the transformation in my life, as I said before, is testimony enough to exhibit the power of God off of the pages of the book, the Bible. Amen. So, woman of God, we're going to look forward to you coming back. We are going to pray for your ongoing fruitfulness and faithfulness in God. Don't you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper?
Yes.
Don't you know that you can do all things through Christ Jesus? Don't you know that you are more than a conqueror, because your own testimony gives evidence of how you've been transformed, how you've been redeemed, how you've been lifted up, and now God wants to use you as a choice vessel for his glory to the salvation of souls. I thank you, Jesus, you're in my prayer list. I am going to be in touch with you very soon so that we can have you come back, woman of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For love of Jesus.
Thank you, sir, again. I am so honored. Thank you.
Woman of God, Sherry, faith and favor. I guess y'all understand what she means when she said faith and favor. Dean was right here for Word of Inspiration, y'all, and she will be back. Don't you worry. She will be back, and we will be glad to have her back. Right now, we're going to continue with this evangelistic outreach, giving God his just due praise, honor, and glory right here on fire, the gospel experience. We're just going to just fall down into a spirit of praise and get our dance on with man of God, Lionel, and woman of God, Leslie, as we get our gospel praise on. We're going to praise him, y'all. Praise him right now.
Call me crazy when I lift my hands to the Most High. They wanna call me silly when I praise his name and they don't know why. I know the truth about him. He saved my soul and he saved my life. This is why I praise him.
He
shook me out of depression and he gave me hope. Covered me in the darkest hour like no one knows.
I get crazy stares from across the room. That's just because they don't know all the mess he's seen me through. See, he's an awesome God, and when I need him and they're on time. This is why I praise him. For my mother, father, brothers, sisters too. For watching over my family and protecting you.
You know that God is able to do abundantly all and more that we ever ask or think. I am just so grateful for all of the anointed people of God that bless this Fire Gospel Experience Ministry. There are so many wonderful things going on in the lives of the people of God. Say, for instance, how about woman of God, Helene Poole Bolden? She's got an amazing announcement to make. Y'all listen to this.
Hello, I am woman of God, Helene Poole Bolden, CEO of Poole Studio Production and Promotion. And I want you to join me and the saints of God on a fabulous time of praise, worshiping, glorifying God on our 2023 Poole's Gospel Carnival Cruise. We are in for a hallelujah great time of fellowship, uplifting, and kingdom collaboration. We are scheduled to sail out on August the 31st through September the 4th, 2023 for a fabulous four-day cruise to the Bahamas. The cabin cost is only $390.27 with shared roommates. Time is almost up to pay your $27 deposit by Monday, December the 12th, 2022, to reserve your space. First payment of $150 is due by Monday, May the 3rd, 2023, and then your balance by June the 17th, 2023. Please contact me, Helene Poole Bolden, at 864-414-7551 or Nancy Henry at 864-353-4317 or go to our Facebook page to review the 2023 Gospel Carnival Cruise contact information. And if you are a gospel artist, gospel group, choir, or gospel band and would like to minister at this spirit-filled event, Praising Across the Sea, please contact me, Helene Pooh Bolden, for registration, 864-414-7551. This will be a life-changing experience for 2023, and you certainly don't want to miss it. And you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience, where the fire is moving, uplifting, unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration of gospel music. And I am inviting you to let the light of Jesus the Christ shine bright in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned in to Fire, the Gospel Experience, where you are lifted, uplifted with the Spirit and give you new strength. Be a blessing to your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about Fire on this station. It is all about the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. It's all about kingdom building. And we do have live with us to just give a quick shout out. Woman of God, Helene Pooh Bolden is here to talk about this upcoming 2023 Pooh's Gospel Carnival Cruise to the I can't wait. Welcome, Helene Pooh Bolden, to Fire the Gospel Experience. Tell us about the great things that you have scheduled for us beautiful people to come together on this wonderful gospel cruise coming up in August and September.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait as well. Everybody here is so excited. We are working out on bus 4 trying to fill it up. Everything is just going better than I expected. God is awesome. He's wonderful, and he is great. It started out with me just planning this for my groups, but I opened the doors up, and I said, well, we're going to have everybody come who want to. And the artists have come in. It's going very well. And I'm telling you all, we're going to have an awesome time. Praising God. We're going to rock the boat
That's right.
And everybody from, I mean, they are coming from Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, California, South Carolina, North Carolina.
Wow.
I mean, everywhere. My phone and Nancy, poor Nancy, she's really catching it. She has really been working hard helping me. Yes, and I am glad. I am so glad. But only thing I hate that Monday is the deadline, I'm going to try to see if I can get a few more days. If not, Monday is it, because my phone still is ringing. People are calling. I didn't know I want to go. I'm telling you, better hurry up by Monday. And I am looking forward to seeing and meeting you and you being on that boat, helping lead the way with the other radio stations. But I am looking forward to meeting Minister Ron Jefferson. I'm telling you.
Amen. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Thank you, woman of God. It's going to be an amazing time. Again, mark your calendars. December the 12th, get your $27 in so that you will not miss this extravaganza on the ocean to the Bahamas, talking about Pooh's 2023 Gospel Carnival Cruise that you don't want to miss. August 31st until September the 3rd. Call. Make your payments. Be there, because we're going to have fabulous time in Jesus. You don't want to be one of the ones. Well, we have to tell you, you should have been there. Thank you, woman of God, Pooh, Helene Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have a showcase where we are going to just let all the gospel artists, some of the gospel artists that are going to be there on their cruise boat, we're going to have a showcase, even if it takes multiple showcases up until August the 31st, September the 3rd, we are going to advertise this and promote it, because everyone that we want to be there will be there. I appreciate you, one of God. Thank you for joining us. I know it was impromptu, But you sure are ready when you know you need to be ready. Bless you, woman of God. We thank you.
That's right. Bless you too also. Bye-bye.
Amen. 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 Listen, y'all, that's going to be an amazing event. We want you to be there. What we want to do right now, though, is we want to get right into this message. There has been so much fabulous word that has gone on. I want to discuss Saints by Night from the Old Testament book of Judges, the 6th chapter, in verse 27 will be our focus scripture verse. And the word of God reads this: Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. Again, we want to talk about saints by night. I know that's an odd topic of discussion, but it is relevant for us because we need to pay attention about the things that we do and not be shamed. So as we commit ourselves to be the spiritual and practical light in our spiritual and morally dark world that we're living in, remember what Matthew 5:14 says. Our Lord Jesus said, you are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see. So while we are by no means perfect, perfection, total effort and sincerity is our daily and ongoing goal. So as we read about the Bible story of God's chosen leader Gideon for a particular assignment, there are questions and lessons to ask and learn from their past decisions that could very well define us today. Then the people of Israel began once again to worship other gods. And once again, the Lord let their enemies harass them, which is Judges 6:1, which started all of this. And there is the heart and crux of the matter. Spiritual betrayal by the chosen people of God. Our first lesson and foundational commitment to stay in alliance and allegiance with our almighty creator God always comes first. The word of God continues to say, this is the time by the people of Midian for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites took to the mountains, living in caves and dens. When they planted their seed, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and other neighboring nations came and destroyed their crops and plundered their countryside as far as Gaza, leaving nothing to eat and taking away all their sheep, oxen, and donkeys. These enemy hordes arrived on droves of camels, so numerous to count, and stayed until the land was completely stripped and devastated. So Israel was reduced to abject poverty because of the Midianites. Then at the last, the people of Israel began to cry out to the Lord for help. So listen, y'all. Eventually, way back then, as it is true enough now for us, after we have struggled and suffered so much turmoil from our own decisions, that's right, I said our own decisions, it wasn't even about the devil. After we have suffered enough long with the consequences of our very poor decisions to abandon God, look, what happens? We long for restoration and redemption from the God that we deny. Verses 11 says, but one day the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah on the farm of Joash the Abarazite, Joash's son. Gideon had been threshing wheat by hand in the bottom of a grape press, a pit where grapes were pressed to make wine, for he was hiding from the Midianites. Verse 12 says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said, mighty soldier, the Lord is with you. We, as a chosen people of God, are just as much chosen as those that we read about in the Bible. And was so this man, Gideon, chosen by God. Verse 14 says, then the Lord turned to him and said, I will make you strong. Go and save Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Amen. But Gideon replied, "Sir, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least thought of the entire family." Whereupon the Lord said to him, "But I, Jehovah, will be with you, and you shall quickly destroy the Midianite horde." So after the choice selection by God, we very often need reassurance and affirmation to overcome our doubts and fears, to extend our faith to and by God's spiritual feeding. And then God provides the instruction for the assignment. Yes, y'all, it is a process. Verse 23 says, "It's all right," the Lord replied. "Don't be afraid. You shall not die." Verse 24 says, "And Gideon built an altar there and named it the Altar of Peace with Jehovah." The altar is still there in Ophrah and in the land of the Abiezrites. That night, the Lord told Gideon to hitch his father's best ox to the family altar of Baal and pull it down, and to cut down the wooden idol of the goddess Asherah that stood there nearby. Replace it with an altar for the Lord your God, built here on this hill, laying the stone carefully. Then sacrifice the ox as a burnt offering to the Lord, using the wooden idol as wood for the fire on the altar. Now, here's where we fail when we lack sufficient faith. We wane and wander to and fro. We may find ourselves following God's plan under our human influence as opposed to our God-ordained influence. Judges 6 and 27 says, "So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night for fear of the other members of his household, of his father's household, and for fear of the men of the city. For he knew what would happen if they found out who did it." Yes, we may be obedient to God, but are we moving in fear instead of faith? And having compromised, have we jeopardized the efficacy of our calling and assignment? We have to ask ourselves, are we sure that we are committed wholly, completely, and fully to the assignment that God has given us? So Gideon decided to be saint by night. Now, yes, I do understand being sensible, cautious, and wise. These are sure elements that must be considered in our godly service. For surely, I promise you, y'all, there will indeed be an ungodly reaction to all of our godly reformation, demanding explanations and retribution. But we thank God for the wise counselors around us who God has placed in our lives to protect, correct, defend, and sustain us. Verse 30 says, "Bring out your son," they shouted to Joab. "He must die for insulting the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah idol." But Joab retorted to the whole mob, "Does Baal need your help? What an insult to a god. You are the ones who should die for insulting Baal. If Baal is really a god, let him take care of himself and destroy the one who broke apart his altar." The attention is taken off the servants and redirected to the heavenly realm, where the gods or the so-called other gods dwell. We believers are all too well sure and have confidence that our God is very capable of honoring and defending himself, whereas the man-made false god has no power because they do not exist. The responses that have deceived generations of non-believers of God are truly demons posing as theory. So let us be wise, cautious, and sensible as we serve, but never, ever let fear deter us from our high calling, from God our Father, our Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit God, as the true light of the world, as stated prior from the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 5 and 15. I want to thank my special guest, y'all. We just had to talk a little bit about saints by night because we are the true lights of the world, and we need to establish that in our minds, hearts, and souls and be prepared to take the challenges that come when we take that righteous stand. But the Bible has declared already, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm so grateful to my special guest, Pastor Gerald L. Irvin, and co-pastor First Lady Carol Irvin from Detroit. Those awesome and amazing people of God, thank y'all for coming in, also known as Sounds of Imani, for sharing your music ministry, as well as sharing your words of wisdom and testimony. Thank you again, woman of God, author, Sherry Faith and Favor Bean, for coming in with those powerful, impactful words that just blessed our hearts. I felt like I had a sermon preached to me. And yes, woman of God, thank you, Helene Poole Bolden, for coming in and reminding us about this amazing, wonderful, cool journey, cool 2023 Gospel Carnival cruise that's going to be taking place August the 31st through September the 3rd. You all need to get your $27 deposit in before, no later than the December 12th upcoming Monday deadline on Monday, December the 12th. Amen. Look to see you there. I am so blessed to be here as the man of God to bless you all on this fire gospel experience, and I would love to leave you with this final word. The devil uses misunderstanding to create division. Amen. Goes right there. I thank y'all in the beautiful name of our Savior, Jesus. Yes, he is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Christ. I am so grateful that God has stepped into our lives in such a powerful and impactful way. Declared that we are free, and we are free indeed. So thank you, Lord God Almighty. We bless your holy name. We live for you. We have no shame in honoring you with our whole heart. Amen. Goes right there. So let me leave you all with my special guest, Sounds of Imani, because God is an amazing God. He does great and powerful and wonderful things to benefit us, his people. Amen. Goes right there. Don't you know God is good, y'all? Don't you know that God has a way of blessing each and every one of us to his soul's satisfaction? Souls of Imani, y'all bless us. I want to leave y'all with woman of God. Listen, Linda Sanders has sent us some new music, and God is great, and he does great things. Yes, he does. Yes, Lord. Thank you. We give you praise, honor, and God. And until next time, I pray God will bless each and every one of you to the fullest as God does those great things in your life. Be blessed in Jesus.
Doing great things for me. for me. Oh,
you can tell.